In honor of our Savior Jesus, please stand for the gospel reading. This is from Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Fascinating scripture readings for today. A lot of metaphor. Metaphor is figurative language. It comes from the Greek word trope, which means to turn, like to turn a phrase. All our figurative languages, whether it's a metaphor, simile, a parable, an analogy, they're all meant to convey truth. Truth. And we heard some interesting metaphors today in our readings. In our Old Testament reading, we heard how God would take and establish from the top of a cedar a tree that will declare the glory of God, and a tree in which many can take refuge. Talks a lot about animals, but that other trees would recognize that that's the tree. Oh my goodness, what's this metaphor all about? There is truth to this that God intends for us to take comfort in, and Jesus kind of hits it out of the park by talking about the same thing. What's that tree? It's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Now, before we really drill down on that, Paul used the metaphor calling your body a tent. I don't know about you, but I don't often think about my body as being a tent. Anybody here? I don't know about you, but I don't often think about the kingdom of God as being a tree. But even in these turns of language, these metaphors, these tropes, there is truth that is meant to be received, and truth in which we can take comfort. And so now let's drill down to this whole image of a, not a Norwegian spruce necessarily, but a tree of gargantuan size. That's the kingdom of God. That's what you and I have been made a part of. And Jesus loves to talk about the kingdom of God in the New Testament, is in his preaching and teaching. He mentions it like 70 times. It's an important subject. And it's about God's kingdom that is unlike all the other kingdoms of the world. Even the kingdom of your own home and mine. Only the kingdom of God will endure forever. And so Jesus has fun just explaining the kingdom of God. He talks about it as if it's seed sown. And how it grows, no one knows. It starts out small, it ends up becoming big. Especially when he gets to the image of the tree. It's gargantuan. It's huge. But it's not necessarily easy for us to see, and we don't know how it works. You sow the seed, you tell the truth about what Jesus has done, and it falls on the earth. You're the earth. You're the earth it falls on. And that seed, God's word, it works. Trust the word, it works. Don't expect me to tell you how. It's even hard for us to understand how corn grows, wheat grows. It's fascinating to see the corn. It's getting close. I'm still not sure if it's 90-day or 120-day. Some of it, I think, is 90. Some of it's 120. Some of it actually looks like sweet corn, but you think to yourself, where in the world are the canneries close by to get sweet corn to? I don't know. I'm not a farmer. Don't know many farmers in North Texas. It's nice to see those fields. But how does that stuff grow? I mean, you take a seed, you put it in the earth, and it just becomes alive. It looks pretty dead. It can sit on your counter for a long, long time. It can be in a package for years. You take it out, you put it in the ground, and it just starts to come alive. Why? Because God commands it to. And God's word works. You share the truth about what Jesus has done, and you're planting kingdom seeds. And it just works. I was thinking about doing a children's message of planting a seed and keep digging it up to see what the kids would say about me always digging up the seed. You know, if you keep digging up the seeds you plant, guess what they don't do? They don't grow. And the kingdom of God comes to us. It comes so small. Maybe in your life there are places where you see no God at all. And maybe there are places in your life where you think to yourself, Lord, I've been asking, I've been trying, I've been working so hard, and it seems like your kingdom isn't coming in this place. Maybe it has to do with a relationship, or it has to do with something you're trying to accomplish among us. And it just seems like there's nothing there. There is no visible sense of kingdom coming and kingdom advancing. It looks like kingdom's missing. Well, that's the way the seed works. It's not always seen. How did Jesus say it? And the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how, the farmer. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, and the full grain in the ear. And there are places in your life and my life where certainly the word has been at work and there's all kinds of fruit being produced. And there are places in your life and my life where we feel like we're just sterile. Nothing's coming. Nothing's growing. It seems like a big waste of time. Trust the word. It works. Trust the word. It works. Driving by a field yesterday, Karen said, "What's in that field?" I said, "It's just a bunch of weeds." "Well, aren't there some sunflower plants there?" "Yes, there are. For oil," she said. And I said, "Yeah, just volunteers from previous crops over the years." The seed works when it works. The temptation for you and for me is to give up sowing the seed. You know, I'd certainly like to see more people in Bible study here in our congregation. It seems like it's not very popular. No exposure to the seed. Little crop. Exposure to the seed. A lot of crop. Be in the word. Let the word mess with you. Let the word encourage and comfort you. Let the word send you off in kingdom work. What's fascinating is that like a seed planted, God's kingdom just happens and engulfs our lives. And maybe, as I said moments ago, there are places where you just don't see any fruit, but there's other places where you see the fruit. Just trust the word, it works. Trust the word, it works. And maybe, just maybe, what's happening as you look at your life and you see where you've fallen short and then you take comfort and forgiveness, that's the word at work. God wants you to live in the forgiveness of your sins and in the promise that he can make all things new in your life. And maybe there are places where it just seems like you're just a withered up plant. Trust the word, it works. How did God say it in Isaiah? He can make the dry tree green. So where you're wanting to give up and give in, that's the very place where you need to say, Lord, I know your word works. May it work here. May it work. Not only that, but keep in mind the whole purpose of the tree. How did Jesus say it? He said it this way. It grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. Think about it this way. The kingdom of God can impact everything that makes up your life. The big challenge in our day, in our time, especially in the Christian church, is that we have been so trained to not think about how the kingdom of God is in this and that and all the parts of our life, that we actually start trying to live our life without thinking about the kingdom of God in them. Stop playing golf with the kingdom of God absent. Stop driving around town with the kingdom of God not in your mind. The kingdom of God is meant to branch out into all the aspects of our lives. Because it's in all those aspects of lives, of our lives, we need this. So that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Is the kingdom of God for the birds? Or is the kingdom of God for us? You see, we're the birds he's speaking of, and we're the birds that need to find shade. Shade from what, Pastor? From the judgment of the world? From the condemnation of those who don't believe? We're the ones that need to find the shade of God's amazing grace for all the ways that we have fallen short and failed. We are the ones who need to have that protection, that peace, that grace, that mercy, the assurance that God loves us so that we can make nests. Again, is the kingdom of heaven for the birds? No, it's for us. And it's not so that we can make nests, but that so that our lives would be to the glory of God. Certainly my prayer for all the fathers here is that they've been able to show their children, and maybe even if they're grandparents, grandfathers, their grandsons and daughters, what it means to be father. Think of all that God has in his kingdom to display through dads about the kingdom of God. And yet I can't help but say that and think to myself, Lord, for all the ways I've fallen short as being a dad, I'm going to take comfort in the shade in your kingdom of God. And that's really one of the most important things a father can share with his children, what it means to take cover in the shade of God's kingdom, what it means to receive forgiveness and mercy from God. You see, there was another tree that was planted. Unlike a Norwegian spruce or the like, a cypress or what have you. And it was planted outside of Jerusalem. Some say April 7, 30 AD, where on that tree, the only perfect one laid down his life so that by that tree, you and I would be given the kingdom of God. First received in the seeds that were sown in the waters of baptism. And then in the message of the cross as we learn to hear it in the various ways that we've had the chance. In the words of absolution from one another and from Pastor on Sunday. And in the meal of God's amazing grace where the seeds of that kingdom are sown so that we take comfort underneath its branches in the shade of its grace. So that we can also be kingdom workers. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday as the district convention, the 61st convention of the Texas District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was coming to a close. I was thinking about it, and I didn't know how to do this until just now. So the next time someone says to you, what you doing? Say, serving my Father. Or kingdom work. What you doing? Don't say, well, I'm mowing the lawn. Just say, I'm doing kingdom work. What you doing? Instead of saying, well, I'm doing the laundry, say, I'm doing kingdom work. I'm serving the King. Now, there is so much in your life and my life where we think to ourselves, this is hardly advancing the kingdom of God. Is it? If it starts out small, so small you can't see it? Aren't you an expression of the kingdom of God no matter where you go? Serving our Father? So I'll try to remember it too if you decide to ask me what I'm doing after the service. But I'd like to help you think about responding differently. What you doing? Kingdom work. What you doing? Kingdom work. Well, it looks like you're taking out the trash. Yeah, it's kind of hidden, isn't it? But it's still kingdom work. It starts out so small, and then it becomes huge. It's kind of interesting. These Norwegian spruce trees, that pine cone is from Mom's front yard, and there's a bazillion of them. It's amazing how old trees try to reproduce. I mean, they reproduce all over the place. And they're almost more prolific than the blades of the grass. And they're huge. We used to decorate them. We used to stand next to them for Christmas and Easter pictures. You know, snow, one picture. And then still snow during Easter. But now sometimes I just dream about cutting them down. But they're so huge. But they're nothing compared to the kingdom of God that you and I have been made a part of. And while all the other kingdoms will rise and fall, the kingdom of God endures forever. And that has been brought to us, and we are made a part of it. And as we serve the King, as we seek to serve God, we are advancing His kingdom. And while you may want to discount the ways that you can do that, trust the Word. Share the story. It works. You know, this gospel reading ends with many such parables. You could translate it with many much story, with many such stories. He spoke the word to them. Jesus loved to tell stories. When my kids were little, I loved to have story time with them. I kind of fell into it with my firstborn. Mom was exhausted, so I did the bedtime routine every night. It got to be pretty grandiose. Take like 40 minutes. I would read books. We would sing songs. I would tell Max stories about Grandpa and Grandma. After a while, it's like he knew them and he'd hardly even been around them. Of course, my dad had been with the Lord for many years. And we just had so much fun making up our own stories. And you know, we still like our story time, don't we, brothers and sisters in Christ? How many of you watch YouTube all the time? How many of you are watching television? I mean, the statistics are amazing. People are on their phones like 7 hours, and then they're watching TV for 7 hours. I mean, is there time for anything else? What's going on? I hardly watch any TV. But we still like our stories. We still like story time. I mean, when you think about it, there are so many stories we're watching. We've got our favorite shows. We've got our favorite story times today. But a lot of those stories don't do anything but maybe give us a disconnect from reality, make us feel good about somebody. But the stories that Jesus told, the stories that you and I can tell, they impact lives forever as we tell the story about what God has done through His Son to save sinners like us and make us one in His Son, fully and totally accepted with seeds to sow. Trust the word. We don't know how it works. Just share the story. Let the land receive it in your home or in your friendships. And trust that it'll work, that it'll grow. In the name of Jesus, amen.